It's like people thinking about death. You can't imagine death. And so they, onto this void, one projects all sorts of things. People are afraid of death. They think, what's it going to be like to go to sleep and never wake up? And they imagine themselves being shut up in the dark forever and get bugged by it. But on the other hand, when you start thinking about what will it be like to go to sleep and never wake up, it suddenly occurs to you that when you were born, you woke up without ever having gone to sleep. It's rather funny. And of course, if it happened once, it can happen again. And that begins to get you real puzzled about what you mean by you. But everybody feels his I. Everybody has this sensation of being in the middle of everything. Turn around and see more or less equally in all directions. And you feel that you're in the center. Everybody feels in the center, just as much as I do. In fact, insects feel they're in the center. And I'm quite sure they feel that they're people. We don't, of course, don't bother to notice them in any great detail. And therefore, they all look the same. And therefore, we say, well, they're not people. They're all alike. They're some sort of mechanism. Well, they look at us in just the same way, and they can't make any sense out of what we're doing. So we're some sort of funny mechanisms going around, so far as they're concerned. But so there's a lot of mystery hidden in this self that we have. Well, of course, you see, we're worried about it. We see the organism vanishes. We're always defending our personalities. And somebody accuses our personality of falling apart and say, now you're not being consistent. You're not fulfilling what you said you would do. You're not playing the role you're supposed to play. Everybody feels that they're coming apart because they're not acting right, as on the stage. So we are constantly on the defensive. And also we're a prey to anxiety. Anxiety is a trembling motion. To be or not to be, that is the question. Because the minute you know you're alive, and really become aware of being alive, you realize that you might also be dead. Because to be implies not to be. And not to be, although we don't really think about that, implies to be. So we're always wondering, now if I do this, will I survive? Or would I better do that? And we're never quite sure. Because you think when you get a really important decision, you've got to make it. You wonder, did I take everything into consideration? Did I make a sensible judgment? Well, you never know. Because in the best thought out plan, always chancy things occur. You don't know whether you're going to slip on a banana skin or whether you're going to get sick. It's all very unpredictable. And therefore, we tremble. Now, when it occurs to us, of course, it doesn't in the ordinary way, that there is no choice between to be and not to be. Just as there's no choice between front and back. Space implies solid just as much as solid implies space. But conscious attention ignores that. It suffers from ignorance. We notice the figure and ignore the background. We notice the solid and ignore the space. We notice the relatively moving in smaller object, but we ignore the relatively stationary background. That's with consciousness, with noticing. And so you see, we don't notice that in order to be present, you must also be absent. Because life is an energy system. And energy is something that vibrates. And whatever vibrates goes on and off. If I sit next to a girl in the movies, and she attracts me, and I put my hand on her knee, and just leave it there, she will in due course cease to notice it. Because it's a constant stimulus. But if I gently stroke her or pat her on the knee, she will keep noticing, because it goes on and off. Now, all energy systems go on and off. You can't know you're on unless you're off, too. So we get waking and sleeping, we get every kind of rhythm. And there are tiny rhythms that go dig, 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 dig so fast, like a beam of light, that you don't notice the spaces, because your retina doesn't react quickly enough. It reacts to the stimulus of the on, but before it can go off, there's a new on. See, so you get what appears to be a constant stimulus. The table appears to be hard. It's vibrating so fast I can't put my finger through it. Same way as an airplane propeller appears to be solid, or an electric fan. But it's all going on and off. Now, there are these very fast vibrations of on and off, and there are very slow ones, like life and death. Now you see it, now you don't. That's what the world is. But because of the focusing of conscious attention, which regards on as real and off as unreal, because you ignore it, regards solid as real and space as unreal, it's like trying to think of waves as a series of crests without any troughs. But a wave is a crest trough. On off. So off is as important as on. You can't have anything happening without both. And although they are explicitly different, on and off, they're implicitly one. We call it energy. So if these neglected and ignored features of the world came to our attention, or in some way could impinge upon our consciousness, we should feel very differently than we ordinarily do feel. How would you feel? Well, I can roughly describe it to you. It's a very odd feeling indeed, at first. You feel that what you are doing and what happens to you are the same. You can say of everything that happens to you, I'm doing it. And of everything that you are doing is that it happens to me. For example, when you're steering a car, are you pulling the wheel or pushing it? It's push-pull, isn't it? Both. Although the words push and pull are formally logically opposed to each other. But that's what you're doing when you're steering, you're push-pulling. So in exactly the same way, when you are acting, what your environment does and what you do are the same process. So when you feel that, it's very odd. You feel as you walk up a hill, the hill is lifting you. a lot of people go crazy with this because they suddenly say, well, I'm God. I'm doing everything. And if then they start to tell everybody that they're God, and people object and say, well, it's absolutely preposterous that you should say you're personally in charge of the whole universe, therefore should be bowed down to and given divine honors, you must be mad. Or a person may take entirely the opposite point of view and say, I do nothing. I'm just a little puppet on the end of strings, and everything I do is controlled by something else. In other words, becomes a complete fatalist. What he doesn't see is that both points of view are right. But of course, this won't fit in with an idea of God, which is based on the ancient monarchies of the Near East. That is to say, it won't do with an idea of God conceived as the cosmic boss. The boss, the chief, that's a political image. And it just doesn't work too well for the Godhead. It leads to all sorts of trouble. And as I often say, for Americans, you'd believe, don't you, as American citizens, that a republic is the best form of government? How can you square that with thinking of heaven as a monarchy? If heaven is a monarchy, monarchy is the best form of government. What about democracy in the kingdom of heaven? How about that now? So you have to conceive God in accordance with some different kind of image. Or maybe, wait a moment, maybe we shouldn't do that at all. Images of God are idolatry, aren't they? There are no image. Because every image is an idol, and idols that are made of imagination and thought are much more dangerous than idols made of wood or stone. Nobody takes a wooden idol seriously. You merely regard it as a symbol, and it's such an obvious symbol, but a concept that seems so spiritual. so abstract. But it's the most dangerous kind of idol, as we shall see when we come to the study of Buddhism, how it gets rid of all the conceptual idols.